This is a strategy that is designed to get us to a COVID normal Christmas.
Freer movement in Australia. It's Wednesday, September 30th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. You'll also find us online at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, talking tough with Taliban, taxing issues for President Trump, and looking into the internet. It's all on today's VOA Asia. A curfew imposed to curb the spread of the coronavirus has been lifted in the Australian city of Melbourne. The Victorian state government has said that a fall in the number of infections is allowing them to gradually relax other restrictions. Melbourne was placed into a second lockdown in July because of a spike in COVID-19 cases. From Sydney, Phil Mercer reports.
New cases of COVID-19 in Melbourne have fallen enough that officials are talking about reopening the city. In late July, authorities had reported more than 700 new daily infections. On Monday, they recorded just 5 cases. Infections have fallen sufficiently for Australia's second biggest city to move to the second of a 4-step recovery plan. A nighttime curfew has ended, and all primary schools will reopen in 2 weeks' time, while about 130,000 people will be allowed back to work. The next step could be taken earlier than its scheduled date of October 26. To achieve a COVID normal status, Victoria would need to have recorded no new infections for 28 days. Victoria Premier Daniel Andrews says the state is so close to beating the coronavirus. He hopes other restrictions will soon be lifted.
This is a strategy that is designed to get us to a COVID normal Christmas. We are well on track. In fact, we are ahead of time when it comes to achieving that outcome. That is a credit to every single Victorian who is staying the course, working hard, making sacrifices.
Many personal freedoms remain restricted in Melbourne. Residents can only leave their homes for one of 4 reasons, including study, work, and caregiving. A second wave of infections in Victoria is blamed on security failures in the hotel quarantine system for Australian travellers returning from overseas. A judicial inquiry has heard that travellers infected hotel staff, who then spread the disease into the community with devastating consequences. Victoria has had 75% of Australia's confirmed COVID-19 cases and most of its fatalities. Australia has had about 27,000 confirmed coronavirus cases since the pandemic began. More than 870 people have died. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
These are among some of the top Asia headlines you'll find right now on voanews.com. Observers say China's denial of unofficial median line in Taiwan Strait fuels unnecessary tensions. Amnesty International suspends operations in India. Afghan team told to be flexible in negotiating with Taliban. Pakistan's anti-graft agency arrests, indicts opposition leaders. Tired of staying at home? How about a flight to nowhere? You'll find these stories and much more with expanded coverage of photos, videos, and text all on Facebook at VOA Asia. And of course, stop by our voanews.com website. VOA Asia continues. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Millions of Afghans are closely watching preliminary peace talks between the Afghan government and the Taliban in Doha. Many are waiting to see whether the political freedoms and rights gained over the last 19 years will be protected in a future peace deal. VOA's Najiba Khalil spoke to Mohammed Naeem, a spokesperson for the Taliban's political office in Qatar via Skype, about women's rights, press freedom, as well as Taliban attacks, and filed this report, narrated by Bejan Hamdard.
One key topic for the peace talks in Doha is the status of Afghan women's rights. In an interview with VOA, the Taliban's political office spokesperson in Qatar, Mohammad Naeem, explained the group's stance.
I must say that we have our own country, our own nation, and our own values. We cannot bring the values of other societies and impose them on our society. For example, we cannot justify women's rights on the basis of the values that exist in the United States, in Europe, and in other countries. Our nation does not want this at all. Our nation is Muslim.
Others say over the past two decades, Afghanistan's women have preserved their Islamic values while gaining new rights and opportunities.
No Afghan woman has lost her Islamic values. Every Afghan woman wants to lead her daily life, government work, and social, cultural, and political work based on Islamic and Afghan cultural values.
Washington's position on the issue remains firm, says U.S. Special Representative for Afghanistan Reconciliation Zalmay Khalilzad, who briefed American lawmakers this month.
I want to assure you that human rights, women's rights, the rights of minorities and children, indeed all citizens of Afghanistan, but particularly women, is of the highest importance to the United States.
When they were last in power, the Taliban banned television and tightly controlled most radio. After their exit in 2001, Afghan media flourished as tens of television stations and hundreds of radio stations launched. Many journalists now worry speech rights could be in jeopardy.
Freedom of expression does not mean that someone should come in and insult the values of the nation. This is not acceptable in the United States, in Europe, or anywhere else.
The Afghan Journalist Safety Committee says the government should defend the gains the country has made toward establishing a free press.
The government prides itself on free reporting and free media. If it hurts these freedoms itself, I don't think it would have a strong argument with its rival in talks.
Civilians have paid a terrible price in Afghanistan's war. A United Nations report estimated in 2019 that more than 100,000 civilians had been killed or wounded. The Taliban maintain they have tried to avoid the casualties, even though for years the group has carried out suicide bomb attacks in densely populated markets and cities.
Everyone's interpretation is their own interpretation. The war here is not about civilian casualties. Of course, war has casualties everywhere in the world. Civilian losses on our part are very limited.
The peace talks in Doha have no end date, and it remains unclear if they will come to a resolution. In the meantime, the fighting continues in Afghanistan. For Najiba Khalil in Washington, D.C., Bejan Hamdard, VOA News.
Happening now in Asia, South Korea says the civilian government official shot and killed by North Korean troops last week at a maritime border was trying to defect to the north. South Korea's Coast Guard Chief of Investigation and Intelligence says the conclusion was reached based on military intelligence and other evidence gathered from the scene. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're glad to have you with us today on VOA Asia. New reported revelations that President Donald Trump paid little in federal taxes, along with the president's unsubstantiated allegations of mail-in voting fraud and the political battle to name a new conservative Supreme Court justice before the November election, have shifted media focus of the U.S. presidential campaign away from the coronavirus pandemic. VOA's Brian Padden reports on how both Trump and Democratic challenger Joe Biden are reacting to these issues as they are preparing for their first of three presidential debates a short time from now, and how all of this might impact the race for the White House.
President Trump on Sunday denied a New York Times report alleging that as a billionaire real estate developer, he avoided paying any federal income taxes in 10 of the last 15 years and paid only $750 in 2016 and in 2017, his first year in the White House.
Totally fake news. No, actually, I paid tax, But and you'll see that as soon as my tax returns are, it's under audit. They've been under audit for a long time. The IRS does not treat me well.
Democratic candidate Joe Biden's campaign responded with an ad contrasting how little the president reportedly paid in taxes with the thousands of dollars working Americans like teachers, nurses, and firefighters pay. The new focus on taxes could put the president on the defensive as the two major presidential contenders prepare to face off in their first debate on Tuesday night in Cleveland, Ohio. Biden has tried to keep the campaign focused on what he says is Trump's failure to contain the deadly coronavirus pandemic that has caused more than 200,000 deaths nationwide. Trump has defended his administration's pandemic response and has questioned the legitimacy of mail-in voting, as polling indicates significantly more Democrats than Republicans will send in absentee ballots because of the coronavirus. In naming Federal Appeals Court Judge Amy Coney Barrett to fill the Supreme Court vacancy left by the recent death of liberal justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Trump has also touted how he delivered a conservative majority court that will protect gun owner rights and restrict legal abortion. Biden and Democrats have warned their supporters that a conservative court will likely restrict women's rights, gay marriage, and overturn expanded federal health care protections.
It's no mystery about what's happening here. President Trump was trying to throw out the Affordable Care Act. He's been trying to do it for the last 4 years. The Republican Party has been trying to eliminate it for a decade.
However, analysts say the constant focus on Trump could be a disadvantage for his campaign, which has struggled to make Biden's competency an issue and portray his policies as socialist and radical. Tuesday's debate will give both candidates a major opportunity to change the dynamics of the race, with just weeks to go before the election. Brian Patton, VOA News, Washington.
The advent of the smartphone has changed human behavior. Will smart glasses be the next big intelligent technology? Google tried it more than 6 years ago with the Google Glass. It did not take off largely because of privacy concerns, but companies big and small in several countries are still working on smart glasses, including Facebook. And there are also reports that Apple is working on a version. VOA's Elizabeth Lee has more on what's currently on the market and their varied applications.
First, there was the keyboard, then the touchscreen. Some tech companies say a wearable pair of glasses could be the next leap in technology, even if it didn't work out for Google Glass.
In the future, we won't be only limited to our smartphones when it comes to understanding the world around us. So this is our early investment in that future.
The U.S.-based company Snap's investment is this, the Spectacles 3 sunglasses. This third version is smarter than the previous ones. In a very different application, the M-Glass by Hong Kong-based Pacific Future allows theme park visitors to have a different kind of experience through augmented reality. During the launch of the smart glasses during Halloween, this park became extra scary.
So there's a ghost everywhere mixed with the real, like, buildings.
The glasses are used in theme parks in China and Malaysia. With a processor inside, these augmented reality glasses are designed for ages 12 and up because of its weight and size. Augmented reality security glasses made by Beijing-based Gultan can be used by police to identify suspects.
He can set a blacklist and scan in the crowded people and find a criminal very soon.
Armed with facial recognition software, video or images captured by these smart glasses can be sent to security officials off-site for analysis. Of course, there are privacy concerns with any device that comes with built-in cameras, one of the reasons consumers rejected Google Glass. Still, the race is on for tech companies big and small to turn an everyday item like glasses into something smarter. Elizabeth Lee, VOA News.
That's all the time we have today for VOA Asia, but you may continue on with us online. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube under the name VOA Asia. And of course, you'll find our full-length 25-minute programs available each and every day at our website, voanews.com. As we thank you for joining us, we also thank our team that helps bring you this program. Managing Editor Diane Gao, Ira Melman, Doug Bernard, and Keith Lane. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a wonderful day ahead. Be safe. Be well.